It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You may realize today that in our country and in the world, there needs to be revival. And I'd like for us to look today at the subject, the cost of revival. Now, if we go to the book of Acts, we're going to read in Acts chapter 2, and reading with verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" Now, many people would say that this is an angelic language or an angelic tongue that these people were speaking in. Well, no doubt this came from God, but it was a language, because every person who was present there, they were able to hear the word of God. And you have the interpretation of this language of tongue, it says, and how we hear every man in our own tongue. In other words, our own language. This is God using men to speak in the language so that everybody who was present on the day of Pentecost could hear the word of God and hear how that they too could know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Don't get hung up on things. Don't get hung up on the subject of tongues when you're discussing salvation or Pentecost. Remember that the important thing here is to remember that these people heard the gospel in their own language. Now, notice with me, if you would, in chapter 1 and verse 14 of Acts, it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And we go on to read. Now, this is speaking of those people who were in the upper room. And then in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible continues, and it talks about how that these people, they had been praying for so long that God would do something. They prayed and prayed, and we're seeing here that the beginning of the local church, how that God blessed these people. Now, there was praying. Jesus believed in prayer. Jesus was one who prayed often, and we see that just before he was offered up on the cross of Calvary. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, it says, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Well, there was praying in the early church. There was praying, and there was praying for many different things. I notice today that we need to be praying as God's people. We need to pray for ministers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." We need to be praying for the ministers of the Word of God. We need to be praying for the saints. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." We need to be praying today, and this may shock you and this may surprise you, but we need to be praying for Jerusalem today. We need to be praying for the Israelites. In Psalm chapter 122 and verse 6, it says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." There's many other verses that tell us that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray God's blessing down upon the people of Israel. Now, there'll be no real peace until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, comes back and sets up his millennial kingdom. So we need to be praying until that time that peace would come to Jerusalem. But remember, there will be no real peace until Jesus comes again. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to pray for Jerusalem, the people there. We not only need to be praying for ministers today, we not only need to be praying for all saints and Jerusalem, we need to pray for all men. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 it says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We need to be praying for the servants, or maybe you have a business, maybe you're the boss, maybe you are the manager of a store, or you're just over a group of people, and you have people who are under you. In Luke chapter 7 and verses 2 and 3 it says this, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. But we need to be praying for those whom we may be a manager of, or we are the boss. They may be a worker that we're in charge of. We need to pray for these people. And we need to pray for friends today. In Job chapter 42 and verse 8, and I've often wondered, were these really friends of Job who came by? To me, they kind of tormented him. But we look at this and we understand that these were friends of Job's. Now, someone says that they do not go to the book of Job because it depresses them. Well, I find that the book of Job is uplifting. You say, well, how is that? Well, I look at it and I see what all took place in Job's life, and certainly he suffered and he lost everything in the beginning. But if you'll keep reading, you'll see how that God restored him double of what he had before. And once again, Job was a friend of God and God was a friend of Job. And this is something that we overlook. This can lift us up if we look at it in the proper manner. Well, these friends, so-called, came to Job. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse 8, it says, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Now, God instructed these people, these so-called friends, to take the sacrifice to Job, and Job would pray for them. He would pray for his friends. Keep in mind that these friends, they kept telling Job, well, for the most part, that he was a sinner and that he had done something wrong to bring down the wrath of God and all this. Well, God instructed them, said, look, if you want to get things right with me, you take this bullock and you have Job pray for you and get things right with God. You need to get things right with God. Well, we also need to pray for our enemies. And this is probably one of the hardest prayers that most people have to pray. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7, it says, and seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. We're to pray for our enemies. We have enemies around us. We have people who would despitefully use us. Not only unsafe people, but sometimes we find that our brethren will say things that's not true, or they are unkind to us. Well, the Bible says that we should not pray for their destruction, but we need to pray for them. Pray for those people who are unsaved. Pray for those people who are saved. And pray that they will trust Jesus as their Savior. That, of course, is the unsaved people. Pray for our enemies. And then we are to pray for those who forsake us. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Did you ever have someone forsake you? Did you ever have a friend turn his back on you? Well, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notice what Paul says. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Paul prayed that God would not do something that would cause a problem for his enemies, but that these people who forsook him, that they would be blessed of God. And there is no revival without a cost, remember. And then we see not only was there praying in this early church in Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 2 and verse 14 there was preaching. Simon Peter stood up. He lifted up his voice and preached. In verse 14 of Acts chapter 2 it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 goes on to say, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, there are people who make fun of preachers today, and that may shock you, but there are people who make fun of the man of God who stands up and preaches the word of God. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "But preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Well, is there another way to go to heaven other than preaching of the word? Galatians chapter 1 and verses 8 and 9 says this, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." There is only one true gospel, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and resurrection. Now notice, the Bible goes on to say in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is no other way to heaven other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the day of Pentecost, there was praying, there was preaching, and then there was praising. People praise God. Praising God describes the people in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. They were mindful of Psalm chapter 100 and verse 4, where it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Well, there's many verses in Psalm 145 and verse 3. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." Now, there was much praising that day on the day of Pentecost. Now, there is no revival today without praising God. We must turn our hearts and our minds and our souls over to the Lord. We need to look to him and we need to praise him today. I believe that this is one of the great hindrances that's keeping revival from coming to this country and to this world, is that we are not praising God. We're not giving him the preeminence in our lives by saying, "God, you are all in all, and I'm going to serve you." And if you're not saved today, you need to trust him as your Savior. There is no other way to heaven. You must come his way, or you will not go to heaven. In fact, the Bible says that you are on your way to hell if you do not trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Call upon him today. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ask him to save you today. Turn and ask him, "Lord, save me."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.